I think the thing that does keep me awake a little bit is just thinking about the strategy of the Affordable Care Act. If the limit of it is to expand coverage and to do everything else the same old way it's always been done, then I think we're going to struggle. You need to think about what's happening to the system that people access with that insurance and how that system interacts with the population as they come in. And so you need to think about complementary strategies on the delivery system side to change the way people use care so that you can get them into the right care in the right place.
That's Bill Wright, and I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Body Language. We're discussing what I believe is the crucial missing piece of the Affordable Care Act with Bill, who's the Associate Director at the Center for Outcomes Research and Education at Providence Health and Services in Portland, Oregon. That missing piece is health literacy. Simply put, it's one thing to sign up folks for the Affordable Care Act. It's something else to train people to be effective, efficient patients by changing their old ways of engaging the American healthcare system. It's all about which door you walk through for service, the emergency room door or the hospital front door. Supporters of President Obama's healthcare law had predicted that expanding insurance coverage for the poor would reduce costly emergency room visits because people would go to primary care doctors instead. But a rigorous new experiment in Oregon, Bill, has raised questions about that assumption, finding that newly insured people actually went to the emergency room a good deal more often. Why is that, Bill? First of all, welcome to Body Language.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Is that statement accurate or true?
It is accurate. We've conducted what amounts to the first randomized controlled trial to assess the impacts of health insurance versus not having insurance in the context of Medicaid expansion, and did find that when Medicaid was expanded in Oregon, that there was about a 40% increase in total emergency department use.
Now, the study, which was published in the journal Science and inspired an extraordinary article in the New York Times, compared thousands of low-income people in the Portland area who were randomly selected in a 2008 lottery to get Medicaid statewide coverage with people who entered the lottery but remained uninsured. The study says that those who gained coverage made 40% more visits to the ER, the emergency room, than their uninsured counterparts during the first 18 months with insurance. Why is that?
Well, look, there is something to be said for the basic idea that if you make something cheaper and less risky to use, people will use more of it.
In fact, your colleague at MIT said that, quote, when services get less expensive, people use them more. The goal, I would imagine, and this is just an assumption on my part, is to persuade people who have signed up with the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, to migrate to a more traditional patient experience. That is, identify a physician, make appointments, see the physician, and discuss symptoms or a possible diagnosis, and then go on through treatment and outcomes. Is that your ultimate goal?
Well, I think the ultimate goal of health reform is to get people into the right care in the right place. And sometimes that does look like using a primary care physician and making that connection. One of the things that I think is true about our study that if you look at kind of the full spectrum of the results we've released so far, all of those things that you mentioned did happen. We actually did find that people used more primary care too. They became more connected to primary care doctors. They were significantly more likely to have a personal doctor after getting insured. They were significantly more likely to have a medical home. They used more preventive care and screenings. They used more prescriptions. They used more of all of those kinds of care. It's just that they also used more emergency department care and inpatient care as well. Really, they used more of every kind of care.
What is the difference between the study, which came out of 2008? Is that correct? And here we are in 2014. What is the difference between the results of this lottery cohort and people who would sign up for the ACA? Or are there more similarities than differences?
Well, in Oregon, there are a lot of differences because in the last couple of years, Oregon has done a lot of work to transform its delivery system, and not just to expand insurance, but to actually transform the system that people access with that insurance. And Oregon's implemented a coordinated care model that's really designed to really change the delivery system for Medicaid patients. And so as people are coming into the through the ACA in Oregon today, they're encountering a system that looks a lot different than it did a few years ago when this data was collected. And so I think it's important to kind of keep that context in mind for Oregon. Now, there's a lot of places around the country that haven't been as aggressive about delivery system transformation as Oregon has been. So if I'm Oregon and I'm looking at these kind of results, I think what I'm thinking to myself is that I'm probably glad I've gotten a jump start on transformation of the delivery system side in preparation for Medicaid expansion. And if I'm in one of the states that didn't get that jump start, I might see this as a bit of a wake-up call.
But that's really one of the keys to success. For example, I'm very interested in your strategy, your plan to educate and enlighten patients and even family members to be effective, efficient healthcare consumers, and in many cases, look beyond the old treatment patterns. In other words, reliance on the ED versus more of a prevention model. I mean, realistically, what can be done to achieve this goal? I mean, is that the right question?
I think that is the right question, and that's the kind of thing that I think Oregon's coordinated care model is really trying to address. It's not just giving people insurance. That gives them access to a system of care. But what does that system look like, and how does that system work with the patient to understand together what the patient really needs and where the most appropriate place is to get that care?
Let me repeat your question, but just flip it a little bit. How do you educate and enlighten patients to become really terrific world-class healthcare consumers and in a way that is consistent with their lifestyle and economic needs and you know, a lot of the home pressures they may have? For example, let's take a single parent with three children who's working a couple jobs. That may not be terribly unique, but there are a lot of special challenges there. So how do you reach out to this cohort, to this patient population, and say, gee, here's a different, perhaps a better way that may be ultimately more effective for you to receive health care?
Yeah, and that's something that everybody's struggling with. There's a lot of ideas out there, though. There's a program right here in the health system that I work at Providence Health and Services, where they have navigators embedded in the emergency departments who talk to people as they come in and provide some connection back to primary care. They talk to them about why they came in. They talk to them about what they need. And then,
kind of like the greeter at Walmart. That may not be a fair analogy, but you know, when I walk into Home Depot, there's in effect a receptionist there who really wants to direct me to the right place.
That's right. And so if somebody comes in and talks to the navigator and they say, you know, I don't like my doctor, so I didn't go there, then the navigator can say, well, let's try to find you a different doctor. Let me help you. Or if the person says, I don't have a doctor, so I came here, then the navigator says, well, let's take a look at whether we can find you a primary care doctor, and that next time you can go there and get your care there, and you can have a better experience for you. Because as a patient, you're going to be connecting to somebody who knows you, and you're going to have a relationship with that physician that we connect you to. But you know, so there are models out there that do this kind of thing with patients, where we can work with them as they come in to try to get them connected to the resources that they need to get the care that they need in the right place.
Or I'd like to find a female OBGYN, obstetrician gynecologist, who speaks Spanish, who is perhaps also a mother, who could be not only more empathetic, more compassionate, but also speaks my language. That is probably not an unusual question for a patient to ask.
Not at all.
That's a huge education process. It's an enormous challenge, but it has to happen. I mean, there's no question about that.
It has to happen, or we're going to have to find a way to absorb pretty significant increases in utilization across the spectrum and in costs across the spectrum. You know, and part of that is great because people need healthcare, and one of the points of this is for them to be able to get the healthcare. But the other goal of health reform, beyond just increasing access to care that people need, is to be able to bend the cost curve. And if we want to be able to do both of those things, just expanding coverage isn't going to do it alone. We're going to need to think about what the delivery system looks like as well. You know, we're doing research right now on Oregon's coordinated care model and whether that might be one of the ways that you do that very thing that you were talking about, that you begin moving people into the right care in the right place at the right time. And, you know, that's one solution. There may be other solutions out there as well.
Bill, where can people learn more about Providence Health and Services? Perhaps you have a URL that people can check out?
Well, I think www.providence.org is the place to go.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
My pleasure. Thank you.